Livingston, Pete Livingston, and Sam Livingston, Los Livingston Brothers.
In the PM, it is Labor Day.
I need to find. Hold on, I need to get the number of what show this is. Give me just a second. Hold
okay, on. It is September 1st, 2014.
Happy Labor Day, y'all.
The year of our Lord. Alongside me, we are in the new studio.
We are in the new studio.
For sure.
New studio.
New studio.
I'm looking into the eyes, sensually, of my older brother Tim Livingston.
I'm looking. I'm looking down my own pants to see just how long this erection is going to get from looking in the eyes of my brother, Peter Livingston.
I'm hoping for 60 minutes.
I mean, I have to, you know, ride the space mountain, you know.
Barbara limousine. Walters, this bitch, 60 minutes down.
So, and then, that was 2020, but that's okay.
Oh, whatever. Who did 60 minutes?
I don't know. I'm not a 60 minutes guy.
Oh. And then also,
sorry, ladies.
Also joining us is the one, the only Samuel J. Livingston.
Samuel J. Brown Livingston.
Sam play testing a deck, his EDH deck of Magic. He's multitasking. Pete is sitting at his desk in his brand new garage, resplendently blue in paint. He says it's Duke blue. I say it's North Carolina blue.
Well, the floor.
The floor is Duke blue. Speckled Duke blue. And we are here. This is show number 170 of Los Livingston Brothers.
It's the Dukies.
You can't see me, but I'm really boshking right now. I'm boshking so hard, so boshking.
Tim has... Oh, and Millie is with us.
Oh, yeah, Millie is here. Thank you, Millie, for joining
us. Millie has joined us in studio. So, Tim, we got... I mean, we can talk about a lot of things.
Yes, we can.
But my life has been so wrapped up in TV.
Isn't it? I mean, so I've... And it's good because I think we all have shows we've started to watch. I know Sam... he'd like to talk about Archer, because I know he just started, or just finished.
Right, finished
up currently to Archer, which is really cool.
Well, season four, but yeah.
Well, yeah. And I just started watching Veep, and you obviously want to talk about The Sopranos.
Sopranos and The Leftovers.
And The Leftovers. And
which you should watch.
So The Leftovers, it's a newest show, so we'll talk about that first, I guess. So this has kind of a weird following right now. Like, people don't really know what to make of the show.
What's your take of it? You have not seen it.
I have not seen it.
What's your take of it?
And I don't know. I guess my take on it is...
Why aren't you watching it? Why didn't you watch an episode?
I don't think I'm really interested in a show like that.
Why?
To be honest with you, I don't think the premise... really does anything for me. I think...
What do you think the premise is?
Well, the premise is that 2 million people instantly get... Right? They're done.
They've snapped their fingers.
They're, like, gone. They're dead. They are not of this world anymore.
Oh, I thought they literally went missing.
And so those people... Well,
no, you don't know.
But that's the thing. And so it's this sci-fi thing. So these same people who wrote this wrote Lost.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure I heard that. Is that incorrect information?
I don't know.
I'll look
it up.
Okay, if you look that up.
You keep talking.
But I guess my whole feeling on it was like I didn't feel like it was... there wasn't anything about it that made me think, oh, it's a very engrossing show. And the thing I've heard the most is that it's actually kind of a depressing show more than anything else. And that is odd to think. It's been a that a show like that is, you know, a very depressing show. And I guess it's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of TV shows that are riveting or exciting, but they don't exactly make you feel happy, right? And but you're in
okay,
you know. But go ahead.
So one of the two, Damon Lindelof.
Okay. One of the writers of Lost.
is most noted as the co-creator and showrunner of the television series Lost.
There you go. And he's the guy who is co-creating and running this show, right? And what's funny is that the Emmys just happened, right? And The Leftovers kind of came out. So this is the follow-up to the Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones comes out, and this replaces it on Sunday nights at 10, so when or 9, whenever it is. And so when HBO does that, the idea is, oh, this is the show that we think you should be watching. True Detective, right? True Detective, Game of Thrones, you get thrown in there. But now, it just kind of seems like the show has not lived up to the expectations that people had thought it could be.
You should watch it.
Okay. I'm only seeing what I've heard. It's not, and that's the thing. It's like I'm only seeing what I've heard, what I've read. It's mainly Alex Papadamas from Grantland, who I believe is the guy who reviews that show. I don't think it's their other TV guy. But yeah, I just, you know, I might.
Are you a man who is influenced by others?
Yes.
So if I were to tell you this grilled cheese sandwich at this place is the worst grilled cheese sandwich you will ever have in your life.
I mean,
but the restaurant, let's say it's like
a top flight restaurant.
Top flight restaurant. Like, worst grilled cheese sandwich ever. There, this is a French grilled cheese sandwich bistro.
Uh huh.
World renowned.
Right.
I go there. Worst grilled cheese sandwich I've ever had in my life.
This ain't the Bass grilled cheese sandwich.
Would you still go there and partake in said grilled cheese sandwich?
I probably would not.
No?
No.
Okay.
Probably would not. Because if your food sucks, probably won't go to that place.
What if you hear that a TV show sucks? Have you ever had anybody tell you that a TV show sucks?
And then I was like,
and then
no.
You watch it and you said you were so full.
See, what's funny about that is I think I pick up shows that I like. And then after I've watched him, I hear people say, oh, that show sucks.
When does that happen? What show?
Oh, let me think. Oh, what was it? What was a show that I really liked that other people didn't really like? Oh man. But Archer doesn't count because people eventually picked up on Archer. So, Friday Night Lights doesn't count. I have had someone tell me that Friday Night Lights was too slow. I was just like, no, that's all right. But like, that's the thing. I don't like have a show that I watch and I'm like, this is way better than anything else. But I've had people disagree with me on how good a show is. Like, I've had people disagree with me on Seinfeld a lot.
Under what grounds?
The idea that it's doesn't stand up, doesn't hold the long time theory, or a long time, like it doesn't hold up over time, that mm-hmm. thing. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of shows out there now that right away you find out, oh, The Americans. This season, people started picking up on The Americans being a good show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, I didn't really like it. It's like, The Americans is a good TV show.
America.
The other one, actually, you know what? It's another E show, Nip Tuck.
Everybody loved that show.
Well, it kind of jumped the shark at one point, and that was, I could think, either halfway through its final season or the beginning of its final season. I can't remember what. The timeline gets kind of blurry, but that was another show that I was like, oh, no, I really, really like that show. And other people were like, I don't get it. I don't like it. I was like, okay. But those are two shows that I just thought of, actually. They're like, and they're both E shows, which is hilarious. It's like, or FX shows. So, but yeah, The Americans might be the best show on television. Right now, might be the best show on television.
Because everything else is off.
Because everything else is off television. So, but go ahead and talk about The Leftovers. I've told you about my TV shows. You need to tell me why this show that you like, that you enjoy, that you partake in, why it's good.
every episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is like a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And it slowly but surely sucks you in. And they do a very good job of that in 60 minutes.
Mm.
And it's funny that you bring up that it's like Lost. Because I was actually driving the other day,
mm-hmm.
driving home,
right.
and I was thinking how I really hope that the creators don't pull a Lost. And I didn't know one of the right. Lost guys was involved
and,
with it.
And that's and that so is, that's that, my apprehension of starting the show.
Well,
because Lost, I'm sorry, Lost was a show that when I tried to get into it, I didn't see any reason whatsoever why people liked it. None. But go ahead.
But I don't know. So you're saying you won't touch anything involved with the Lost guy?
I think that so this is the thing, like there's a couple
hang on. Let me ask you about a few things.
Okay.
Did you like the movie Star Trek?
The new one? The first?
Yes.
So the reboot that came out in 2010?
Yes.
Yes, I did. I liked it a lot.
Did you see In the Darkness?
Yes, I did.
Your takes on that?
Good, but not as good as the first.
Did you see Prometheus?
No. That's one that it comes and goes on HBO Go, and I've heard I need to see it.
You should see it. Okay. For whatever reason, people dump all over it, but right. It's amazing. Damon Lindelof had a major part in all three of those movies.
He was the head writer for the first Star Trek movie, and he helped on the second.
Trust him, Tim.
I don't mind movies, but serialized TV, he went off the rails with Lost. And I kind of feel like when I started getting into it, and everybody's like, you gotta watch Lost. And I was just like, it's not doing it for me. So, but you know, maybe I'll give it a shot. But there's other shows that I'm watching. Veep is phenomenal.
Tim, you need some melodrama in your life, not just comedy. The Leftovers will give it to you.
Okay.
Tim, you have. Think about this dynamic. Small town,
white
upstate
people.
New York.
Okay.
Lots of white people.
Lots of white people.
Tons.
Lots.
You have a cult.
Yes. I've heard of the cult.
That is made up.
Of the...
I have no idea who it's made up of. You're still trying to figure that out.
High quote leftovers.
Well, everybody's leftovers.
Well, sure.
And I can't even go into detail about what happens,
right.
But you're always teetering whether they're good or they're bad.
Sure.
You never quite know. You want to let Millie out?
I will let Millie out.
Millie's like, I've had enough. I have to go pee.
I hate the leftovers.
So there's this whole normal America that wants to kind of like talk about and grieve with this rapture that happens.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of 9/11-esque. They celebrate it every year type of deal. And every time they do something involved with it, this cult comes out. And there's always like a butting of heads
type of deal.
Mm-hmm. So you have that. You have the community, the cult, and they recruit people. And they recruit people by basically they stalk you nonstop until you give in to the cult. So, like, if I were on their list, I would open up the garage door, and there would be two people dressed all in white, and they would just sit there and smoke cigarettes without even talking. And they would be there all day, every day. When I would get up in the morning and go out to work, they'd be sitting there smoking cigarettes. when I get home from work, they would still be sitting there in my driveway smoking cigarettes. They don't say anything. And they like break you down over time. Anywhere you go, if we were to like go grab a beer downtown at the bar, they would follow us there and then sit there and like smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
And so there's this crazy interaction where you're like, what the heck is the deal?
So they lure you in via secondhand smoke.
Yes.
Okay.
You get addicted and you're like, all right, I want in.
I heard firsthand smoke's actually not as bad as secondhand smoke, so give me a cigarette.
So you have that interaction.
Right.
And then from there you have kind of this government supernatural thing going on. So you have to trust me on this one, Tim.
Okay.
You need to at least watch the first season and tell me if you are not enthralled.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. So let me tell you about Veep. All right, so Veep. So.
Stupid.
No, it's great. It's great.
Dreyfus.
Really funny cast. My movie crush when I was 9 or 10. Anna Chlumsky is in this movie. From the Mike.
Chlumsky,
yes. She's hilarious in this. She plays the chief of staff for the VP.
Is she funny? Is it one of those deals where it's like, I think you're cute, so I'm going to laugh at anything you say?
No, or she's, is she really funny? She's legitimately funny.
Tim?
She's legitimately funny.
Look at. Don't look away. Don't rub your eyes. Look at me and tell me that she's legitimately funny.
She's legitimately funny. She,
if we were sitting next to each other, who would you laugh at more? Who's funnier?
Right now, you're being funnier. Way funny. Way funnier. Way funny. But it's a really good cast. It has, Buster Bluth from, Arrested Development. It has the guy from Old School who really wants to be a part of the frat. The guy at work.
At work, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy, but he's like, he's really funny. It has this real tall dude who is the liaison between the vice president and the president. And he's the one who always comes in and he's kind of the shit stirrer. He comes in and he's the guy who like is always calling people out on their shit and all that. Then you have the good-looking, like, upstart who wants to go up in politics and work his way up and all that shit. So you have that cast. And it's really good, like, really well done. And it's a lot of... It's a lot of, I want to say... It's one of those things where I know that they basically are given a blank canvas. It's a lot of improv. And they do it really, really well. It's really, really funny stuff. And it's like kind of that whole biting, sarcastic humor, very witty, quote unquote. But it's almost too snarky at points. Like they're almost like, okay, we get it. Nobody really likes each other, you know, all that stuff. But then there's some parts where you're just like, wow, this is like they're trying to show some type of emotion. But then at the end, they'll turn around and turn into some type of joke or some shit like that.
It's a snark show,
but it's snarky, and
that's American humor right now.
Well,
huh?
That's what I was about to say. It's like the cynical, not holier than thou, but like I'm smarter than you type.
Yeah,
like those people dig it. Like they'll be all over it, right? Meanwhile, I'm the guy who's more like I just want to hear a good joke or see a funny premise or something like that.
That's very snarky of you to say that.
Fuck you. Hey, snark man. No, but I think it's a show that it's tough to get into, but if you enjoy that type of humor, you will come out of it looking, feeling like a million bucks.
So, we're watching the same show.
Basically, right.
You're saying give it time, and you'll think it's awesome.
Well, there's some people who think it's the best show on TV right now. I'm like...
So, I have a thing with that, saying right now.
Right now.
Because right now, there isn't much on TV.
Right now. Yeah. Right now, there's like jack shit on TV. Yeah. I'll tell you what the best thing is on TV right now. And it's John Oliver. And it's not even close.
Out of, well, let's just pretend that everything is in season right now.
John Oliver.
Over Game of Thrones.
Without a
if
doubt.
It was, if it was John, if you had the newest episode of Game of Thrones,
right,
or John Oliver,
right,
what would you watch? And you could, and you couldn't watch, you could only watch one of them. The other one would not be there. It would just only air once.
I have not gone back and watched an episode of Game of Thrones twice. Never.
So what are you saying?
I'll watch John Oliver over and over again.
But you only get one. I'm just saying.
John Oliver.
So you like John Oliver John more Oliver. Than Game of Thrones?
And I'm crazy. I know people are going to be like, but I don't give a fuck. There you go. There it is again. How can you like John Oliver more than Game of Thrones?
I'm just saying.
Right.
You like John Oliver more than
Game of Thrones. Is truly, it's the peak of television entertainment right now. Like pure just entertainment.
No, it's not. John Oliver is.
No. But what I'm saying for John Oliver is that he embodies something so it's so great. He's supposedly this guy who, you know, it's like The Daily Show or it's like The Colbert Report, but he's actually turned this into something like so different than those two shows.
So it's not snarky remarks on politics.
It totally is.
Oh, so it's not any different.
But he presents it in a much different way. And
with a British accent.
With a much... Yes, with the British accent.
Snarky British accent.
Oh my god, yes. No, he's but my whole thing with Oliver is that more so than Stewart, more so than Colbert, Oliver is presenting his stuff in a way that while it looks the same, it feels, you know, it looks the same, it's the format is very similar. The way he actually goes about presenting the stories is done in a way that Stewart and Colbert can't, like, at all. And when they didn't readily give...
So he takes a European stance on things.
Yes, very European, except that he's been in America for, like, the last 20 years. But he is truly magnificent. He, like, his takedown of the whole Ferguson stuff and the militarization of the police was... It's comedic, quote unquote, but then like the facts he brings up are like, holy shit! Like, he like takes things to task.
So it's John Stewart.
No, he does it better than Stewart. Stewart has it down to a science in the sense that he knows kind of where to tighten. Like he knows how to get you right. Stewart, because he's had that show for almost 20 years now. He's the guy who's like. He knows how to present those stories in a way that people are like, oh yeah, like, you know, Stewart just ripped them a new asshole. Meanwhile, Oliver's over here and he's like taking 15 minutes to tackle an issue and say, oh no, this is why this is happening. And he goes into detail after detail after detail and just rips these things to shreds. It's pretty
so
remarkable.
They're longer.
It's a longer form show. So, you know, The Daily Show only has 22 minutes, right? And Oliver has decided not to have a guest every show. He's decided to go full on with his new stuff for the full 30 minutes most of the time, although he'll do something for like the last couple of minutes or something. But he only does it when he feels like he needs to. If he feels like he can take something on from the new side of things without a guest, he'll do it. And
So that is the best show in all of television?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt right now.
Out of all the seasons?
Right now. Right now, without a doubt.
Interesting.
I will watch. I mean, like, he's on hiatus. Like, his take he took last week off, he's taking this week off. But he'll be back this coming Sunday. It's going to be phenomenal. I know. So.
The Sopranos. It took me.
Boshk. Took you Boshk years?
5 years to finish the final season. And I finally figured out where I was. I had about 4 or 5 episodes left to go. I think it was 4. And I watched them recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, really, really freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way that show ended to me, I know everybody was going crazy because David Lynch just came out and said, he's like, oh, no, this is like, is he dead? Like, no, he's not dead. And everybody's like,
no, it was a context.
I know, it's fucking hilarious.
I'm just, he was like, why are we talking about this stuff?
Why are we talking about this?
And they said, no. And he said,
remember,
yes.
So remember, folks, you can't have ambiguity. Not even. You can't come up with your own reasons. That one dude, you read that, right? The one guy who fucking took, like, a fucking dissertation. Like, if you were in film school, this could have been your master's, your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, did a fucking dissertation in how, like, what that meant, the end. Basically, it was like, oh, he's dead. And it was just really, really, like, people read it. And I remember I read it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago when I was really bored. I was like, oh, I'll read it. And he brings up some good points, but I'm not about to be like, oh, I'm sure that's what David Lynch meant, and he took it to that length. It's like, no, he fucking did what he wanted to do.
I don't know. What's your take?
Well, I think he... I don't think he died at the moment the fucking screen went black.
What do you think?
I think he was alive when the screen went black, but he eventually died soon after. Like, I don't know if it was that night or... But I don't think it was like when she walked in the door, it's like, oh, it's done. He's dead. So
why is that?
I don't get like why he had like, oh, he had to end with him dying. Like, and the reason people brought that up is, oh, he obviously died was because of like the part in season 4 where everything was the coma, you know, where he goes into the coma after being shot. And everyone's like, oh, so this was actually like it was supposed to be like him seeing this or him envisioning this. Or someone's like, no, that's not it. Why would you choose to end it that way if he just died when the screen went black? That's a very simple way to say that he's dead.
Is it though?
Yeah, pretty simple.
Nobody's ever done that before.
Sure, no one's ever done that before.
Nobody... The execution of it, here's what I thought. I think it might have even been before I started the show. Was it before I started the show? The show had already ended. And it was my first semester down at Cal State Fullerton. I was taking a television course. And it was more on the production side. And they showed the final scene of The Sopranos.
Yep.
And I was just like, well, yeah, that is pretty crazy. I had no context because I'd never seen the show outside of when you guys would watch it, when you and your friends were, and you guys were just fucking insane over that show.
Yes,
you guys were just mental.
Both.
I mean, showing up like an hour before it even started, just like getting fired up for it.
Right.
So that was pretty much the only context for the show that I had. Just a few episodes that I had seen. So seeing it, the ending now, it was almost, it was fairly different from what I remember. My recollection of how it ended after seeing it in school was that guys came into the diner, they were sitting at a booth, guys came out, pulled out guns and shot him. Which is wrong. Doesn't happen that way. It's, you know, people come in one by one, yada, yada, yada. And I think maybe it was just my projection. That's like what I thought happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny because people talk about projecting what they thought that they saw at the end of the Sopranos.
Right.
And that guy wrote about it. There were people that wrote in to HBO and like, were there two different cuts that happened?
Uh-huh.
Because people were writing to them, calling in and swearing that they saw before the screen went black, Meadow, is that daughter's name, come in to the restaurant. And HBO finally came out and said, no, there's only one cut that came out. There wasn't two different ones. And what they said was that they probably, because of the cutting, which the guy talked about, it went back and forth between Tony Soprano looking down at his menu, a shot on him, the bell would ring and he would look up and it would go to a point of view from his point of view to the front door of people coming in. And so you got used to seeing right before Meadow came into the restaurant.
Right.
They cut as she was going across the street. Yeah, they cut to Tony looking down at his thing. The bell went off and he looked up, and where it should cut to Meadow, that's when they cut to black. And so people in their mind were waiting for Meadow to show up, so they projected.
Yes.
That they saw Meadow, because their brain had already processed that that's what they were going to see. And that's something I can't remember because I'm a horrible film student, but there's a Russian film director that would do something similar to that, where he would project feelings on the people by showing them images. So he would show like food and then a baby's face. And I'd be like, what is the baby's emotion? And the baby would just be totally stoic, like just sitting there normally. And he would ask people, you know, what is the emotion from the baby? And they would say, oh, the baby's hungry. And he'd be like, why do you think the baby's hungry? And he said, because whatever. He would show something like a violent image, like a gun or something. And then he would show the baby, same exact baby's face. And then he would say, what is the emotion of the baby? People would say, oh, the baby's scared, or the baby's frightened. And that's kind of what it is. It's like people were projecting into their own brain what they were going to see. Like they saw Meadow approaching the diner. And because of the way he set up the shots where it went, looking at the menu, the bell would go off when somebody came into the restaurant. And he would look up, and then they would show the person entering. They got conditioned to think, okay, I'm going to see Meadow come in.
Right.
So, I just thought that was kind of cool. But, after you initially saw it, what were your thoughts? As, like, do you think that he...
Not at first, no. I was like, oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I almost felt like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? But I was like, oh, he's dead. I didn't think that. Right? That wasn't the first thing I thought.
I thought my heart kept thinking he's gonna get shot. He's gonna get shot. He's gonna get shot. You know, he's
David Chase, not David Lynch. David Lynch, the director. I just pissed off all the film nerds that listen to our show.
What the?
What?
Barking ass dog.
But everything set up for him getting shot in the restaurant. And the biggest thing that made me think that the guy in the members only jacket was the murderer was because it seemed so similar to the going into the bathroom thing. And the focus of him going into the bathroom, it just made me think of what movie? You don't know? Iconic movie before he goes and kills...
Oh, The Godfather.
The Godfather. Michael Corleone, he goes in the... Remember they have the gun taped to the inside of the toilet? And he pulls it out, and then he goes back out and he shoots everybody. It seemed like. And so that's what my brain was registering. I was like, oh, this is going to be a hit type of deal. But there was a part of me that wanted to say, hey, Tony was still alive when the screen went black. So we don't know if he was shot. So part of me wanted to say, oh, he was alive. But I know that he wasn't. He got shot. And the way that... But the way the guy broke it down... So I went and I was just like, oh, that was really crazy. The ending with the black, the 10 seconds of black. And I went and I read the guy's, like, dissertation thing that he wrote.
Right.
And he was referencing all these quotes from David Lynch about...
David Chase.
David Chase. And now I'm doing what you're doing.
Sorry, my bad.
In regards to... you don't hear it before it happens.
Right.
And he kept referencing that, and there were the things like him and Bobby talking in the boat. There was something where they literally said verbatim, you know, you imagine you don't even hear it before it hits you type of deal. Reference different hits and murders where people were there and having conversations and getting hit with like blood spray from the person they were literally standing next to who just got killed, because you don't hear it, but they saw the blood first and then everything else came after that. And after, you know, going through that, and they kept bringing up all these different things, and it made total sense. There were other things that the guy brought up that I thought were kind of a reach and that you could probably rebuttal pretty good, but that just made so much sense. And David Lynch kept saying, oh, everything's there, like why it happened, the way it happened, it's all in there. You know, it the puzzle pieces are there. There are no secrets. Like, you just have to pay attention. And so it makes sense to me that the 10 seconds of black is what it's supposed to be like when Tony Soprano gets shot.
I don't know about that. I don't think it was ever about whether he lived or died. But
that's just me.
So what do you think the 10 seconds of black is?
I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I had an explanation for you. But I don't think it's as easy as saying, oh, he died. I don't. I know people want to because they have the things that they equate with death and all that.
Well, it's supposed to be when he looks up, the timing of the shots.
Sure.
That's supposed... You're in Tony's point of view.
Not necessarily. You never see a shot in that last 6 minutes
It's point of view angles. So people are approaching the table.
Sure.
It's from where Tony's sitting. So, like, you looking at me, this is what you see. This Tony looking at the menu. The doorbell rings. He looks up, and then they cut from my angle to the door of either his wife or his son coming in to the restaurant. And that's the whole timing of it. Every time the bell rings, it's Tony, and then he looks up, and they're supposed to cut to it from his point of view. And so that's what they're saying, is that when it's supposed to be his point of view, he gets killed.
I don't think that's simple.
But that's not simple.
I'm being ambiguous about it.
I just don't think it's... I think it's masterful storytelling. And it's so different.
I think if David Chase wanted to kill Tony Soprano, he would have killed Tony Soprano. Why not kill him off?
He did, though.
No, he didn't. That's the thing. You don't... Like, that type of ending...
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people go there is because, oh, that has to be it. There's no other possible way. It's like, he had to have died because, oh, the screen went black, which means that Tony... It's like, that doesn't matter. And people think, oh, Zoom.
But it does matter.
That doesn't. Doesn't.
Well,
I think people going to that as the first thing is just, I was like,
I don't think it was people's first.
Yeah, thing. It was.
It was either one of two things. It's either he either got killed,
mm-hmm,
or he didn't. So you're either one or two. Sound like he kind of got killed, but kind of didn't. It's Zombie Tony.
Which be awesome. Tony Soprano and Walking Dead just out of nowhere.
Right?
Oh my god. Can we please have that happen? You know how awesome that
Chase
would be?
Chase hit me up.
Oh.
But what they were doing is... The guy brought up this exact point that you're talking about. And what he said was... He was putting you in Tony Soprano's shoes.
I don't think he was, though.
But listen to this. You're so upset that you didn't get to see all of these things that shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's the same thing with Tony. Tony didn't get to see it. Everything that he had near and dear to his heart was just gone in the blink of an eye. Which was the whole premise of it, was that it can be gone just like that. And so, no, you may not get to see Tony with his face in a ball, you know, in a bowl of spaghetti or something like that. Because that's, I mean, I don't think that's really what he was going for. You know? And so it's like, at that point, like, the family was kind of turning stuff around, you know, with the wife. His son was kind of straightening up his act. His daughter was going to law school and stuff like that. And so we finally got to see all the good, and they keep talking about, oh, remember all the good times, yada, yada, yada. It's kind of like the viewers start thinking, oh, the good times we had on The Sopranos. Look at all this great stuff. And then just boom, it just ends. Which was kind of... Which I get where you're coming from, but at the same time...
How... Here's the thing. If you hear all that...
Yes.
How does he die without you hearing a gunshot?
Because the bullet travels faster than the speed of sound. So it would enter and kill you.
You'd hear it.
No.
You would hear it.
No, you wouldn't.
You would hear it.
If a guy came up to you and put a gun to your head and pulled the trigger, you probably wouldn't hear it. He didn't pull the trigger? How else would he shoot?
He wasn't here! If he was anything, he was 20 feet away.
You don't know that, though.
No, you do know that. Because if he was right there, you would have seen him on screen.
Well, if it was close enough. Tim, that happens all the time. It's the bullet will strike, and then you hear the sound of the gunshot. It's science. You're a man of numbers and science, right?
We've talked too long about this.
No, we have not.
Yes, we have. Nobody wants to hear this. The great Gary Rabinovich. Nobody cares.
I do care.
I know.
Because it's a great TV show.
Sam's just been sitting over here, listening to us talk.
Yeah, I'm just kind of... I'm sorry to say I'm contemplating having to head out early so that I can get my study done.
Alright, we'll do 15 more minutes. It's 9:30. Can you do that or no?
Sure.
We will.
Because it's definitely been a long day.
So.
Which was fun, but still.
Archer.
Yeah.
You watched it.
Mm-hmm.
You loved it. Talk about it.
I don't
That's
know what
it.
To say. It's just... I don't know. It was good.
Phrasing?
Yeah, it's... Oh, it's hot in here.
True statement.
Understood. It's... I don't know. I heard the fifth season isn't all that great.
No, it's pretty great.
Is it?
Okay. Archer Bice. Pretty incredible. However, I don't think they're going to try and call themselves ISIS anymore. They don't want to be... With the Iraqi insurgents.
Who is ISIS?
That was the name of the spy company in Archer.
Of course it was.
And of course the, you know, the freaking band of rebels in Iraq. What is their name? Oh, ISIS. I'm like, what? I was totally waiting for some dude that looked like Sterling Archer to freaking...
Tim, I'm going to play something for you. Tell me what this is.
Mm-hmm.
the American Males theme music.
Yes! Yes! I knew it.
How did you? How?
Oh, come on, dude. Like, the greatest theme music in the history of WCW? American Males. Isn't that the greatest? That is the greatest. Oh, you don't want to hear the lyrics. It's really bad. It's so bad.
Wrestling?
That's awesome. I mean, wrestling.
Wrestling intros had the best music. It always had the guy that was just like, like Hulk Hogan type stuff. Like,
yeah.
Driving guitar, like,
right,
super cheesy.
You know who did, you know,
it's
who,
so 80s.
You know who did Real American, right?
Hang on, I know this. No, I know this.
Same guy who did Jesse Squirrel.
Yeah, no, I know the song. I know this. I know this. Who? I don't know. Tell me.
Rick Springfield.
Ah, damn it.
By the way, I guess it was Jimmy Jameson.
Okay, Tim, tell me. Let's play. This is a game we're doing. Okay.
My mind's eye.
So you got American Males. Okay. Congratulations. American Males.
Is it just the music, or is it the actual like music video with Riggs and Bagwell like in the suspenders or shirtless with the glasses on?
I mean, yeah, but they just loop the same stuff. I don't think it's their actual intro video.
Okay,
which one was Riggs?
The guy with the longer hair.
Yeah,
Bagwell had the short hair.
There were a lot of these guys looked like Steve Perry.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
The killer in The Sopranos, at first glance, I thought looked like Steve Perry. And you know what they were playing?
Yeah.
In the background?
Yeah, of course. Don't stop believing.
Yeah. Journey. And I was like, that's kind of crazy.
That's funny.
It should have been John Bon Jovi.
No.
Jersey.
No.
What?
Dude. Who the hell was Tony's right-hand man throughout the entire freaking...
I don't know.
Van Zandt. He was freaking playing in the E Street Band with Bruce Springsteen. How fucking Jersey do you want to get here, dude? That's pretty Jersey. That's like the most Jersey.
All right, listen. All
right.
This guy, one of my personal... I had a... Anyway.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
He's simply ravishing.
Oh, yeah. Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh, that kind of gave it away, though.
I don't care, but Rick Rude was the shit.
The guy just looked like a porn star.
Yes, he did. And he never stopped looking like a porn star.
No.
And he, like, when he lost the mustache, I think people were so pissed. He shaved the mustache, like, in 94. And we were just like, why would you shave that mustache? It's the most glorious thing in the world. So great. All of it's so great. Go back and watch Rick Rude matches, please.
Oh, I agree.
Everybody watch Rick Rude matches.
Okay, so please. This one I think anybody could get. We're teeing this one up. We're saying, well, I'm going to do 10 of these.
Okay, so we're 2-2.
So you're 2-2, and I want to see what you can do.
Okay. Oh, hell yeah, Goldberg.
Yeah.
Tell me this doesn't get you hype! Tell me this doesn't get you hype. Tell me this doesn't.
This
like,
was when he would come out.
Tell me
this
doesn't get you hype. I don't care if he was green as hell and he sucked in the ring. I don't care if he was hard to work.
100-0.
It's like 180-0 or something like that. But oh my god, dude.
Okay, you're 3-3.
I'm 3-3.
We're getting a little bit more ambiguous.
Okay, this sounds like the Honky Tonk Man, but I don't think it's the Honky Tonk Man. It's not the Fabulous Freebirds. All my wrestling friends who are listening to this right now are going to be like pissed. Like, how do I not know this?
There's a hint in there.
Is Cyndi Lauper? No, it's not.
No, who's the theme music? Whose theme music is this? Cyndi Lauper was a musician.
Oh. Oh, I was thinking of what's her name? Wendy Richter. No.
There's a huge hint. Five. I'm gonna only give you three more seconds and then we'll stop at two. One.
Wow.
Would you like a hint?
Well, I'm gonna lose, but go ahead.
What was a reoccurring word?
Rock and roll.
Okay.
Right.
Think about wrestling.
Oh my god, that's the Rock and Roll Express?
Yes, it was, Tim.
Oh my god, I cannot believe that. So here's the thing, and here's why I don't think... So here's my defense, although I don't have a defense in that, is that when you watch Rock and Roll Express matches now on like the WWE Network... There's some music that isn't licensed, and so they have to dub it. They have to actually like play something over it, and so the R&Rs get some generic rock song. You don't hear that, and so I don't think I've actually ever heard the Rock and Roll Express's theme music ever. But okay. I'm 3 for 4.
All right.
3 for 4. Oh, Sting! I mean, this was shit. This was my shit.
2 seconds in.
This was my shit, okay? When they went to that the song The Man Called Sting or whatever, like in 91 or 90, like 93, I was so pissed. Because like me, like...
Just driving.
I mean, it was the shit. This was the best. I was like, yo. This was good shit. And I still remember it. Sting Vader, 1992.
Okay, here's the thing. WWE was...
I'm amped now.
Should I just Cold Stone Steve Austin this right now?
Yeah. Wait, okay, we can't talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
WCW. Yeah.
Who was... he was in WCW.
Yes, he was Stone Steve
Austin. He was.
He was in the Hollywood Blondes.
Dangerous Alliance.
But even in the heyday of the WWF with Hogan, with Savage, mm-hmm. early 90s, late 80s, you look at WCW, you look at Sting,
uh-huh.
you look at Vader, who was on both.
Yeah, right? Vader was after the fact, yeah.
Ricky Steamboat
was
Ric Flair.
Right.
Like the Steiner brothers,
right.
who were kind of like their answer to the Legion of Doom,
right? From a popularity standpoint, yeah.
You could look at Sting, Flair, Steamboat, and Vader,
yeah,
and it was this insane,
yeah,
square
Rude,
of
Pillman. Arn Anderson.
Oh, Brian Pillman.
Barry Windham. Dustin Rhodes. I mean, they go on and on.
I mean, they're like the... That is like the OG of OG crews.
Well, no, but like 92 WCW.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty was still part
both
of it.
Both Rhodes.
Yeah. Dusty was kind of eh. But he had just finished being an active competitor, but he was still doing his thing if he needed to. But, yeah. Okay, so I'm 4 for 5 now. Wait a minute. Yeah. Because I missed the rock and rolls. Oh, I'm 4 for 5. Okay.
Four for five. Here we go.
Alex Ray. Yes! Oh, God.
Look at this. Sam, come here. You'll appreciate this.
The greatest dancing in the history of the world, right there.
I am only now realizing how homoerotic.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's totally homoerotic.
Early 90s.
So Alex Wright is interesting. So his dad is Steven Wright, one of the greatest European wrestlers of all time. And
this is very Euro.
Yeah, very Euro. Very Euro. But Alex, he came back.
We were very much influenced by this.
Yes, he was. So much.
Great Muda match.
Yes, he and the Great Muda had a match. It was... Muda was... when was that? That had been 95.
Yeah. Do you remember the Alex Wright?
Yeah,
come on. Let's do it.
He's going to do it. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
That's the fucking best.
It's just like the video.
The best!
This guy is like straight off the fucking boat from
It was like the
Amsterdam.
Greatest.
Like he just pops a knee, went to a club and was like, I have to go to America now. I have to go wrestle with
the
men.
He's just dancing his way off the fucking strip and just das, like, alright, I'm gonna wrestle.
That's Wunderkind.
Oh, Christ.
Five or six.
Reminds me of like a fucking Punch Out intro.
Oh, no,
just
he,
like,
he totally,
he dances his way
into totally
the fucking
could be
ring.
Someone you find Punch
yeah.
Out. He totally could be someone you punch and find it. Find Punch
that'd
out.
Be great.
So 5 for
even
6.
Even though I've never actually played that before, it's sad.
Anyways. So 5 for 6. Yeah, Alex Wright was an interesting cat. He like retired early and became a trainer in Germany. And that's what he did that like at like 28, 29. Very interesting cat. Made some money. Good for him, too.
Oh, on the note of Archer, I wanted to say that like everyone had great catchphrases. Like that's going to be one of those ones you look back and you'll remember like all of them.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's a very good show. If you're wondering my 2 cents on it, it was totally a fun. Yeah. It was the hoot.
We already did that one.
Oh, I did. You're right.
Yeah, that's Sting. That's a better version of the Sting. That's a better version of the Sting music.
Bonus point. I will give you back the one you missed if you know what this is from. What he used this in.
What's... I can't hear.
What wrestling organization did that originate from?
WCW. What are you talking about? Sting?
Yes.
Like that music?
That Sting music.
No, it wasn't Mid-South. Yeah, it was either Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA, or it was WCW.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that was his new. Oh, that's his new Japan. So that is a way better version. Shout out to New Japan. Okay. Oh yeah, no, he was big in New Japan, man. He fought Antonio Inoki when Inoki was doing his retirement road. Fought him. Beat him. Actually, he's one of the few people that actually beat Inoki. Inoki put him over.
All right. Let's check this. Ready?
Somebody didn't put Bader over. Don't know why. Oh! The dragon, baby. The dragon. I mean, so here's the thing. So, Ricky's original theme music that he came out to, like in his run in 89, one of your mind favorite entrance or anything music songs of all time, because the Chicago Bulls use it for so long.
No, that was his intro?
Oh, dude. No shit. 89?
Shit.
Chi-Town Rumble? Yeah. Totally used it.
Okay, so what do you got now? Six.
So, 6 for 7.
Okay. Next up?
Summer.
That this is not
you
it.
Know it
bonus points.
Bonus points. What ad is commercial. This on YouTube? Oh yeah, it's Jimmy Snuka.
That's so easy. They fucking okay. That does not count. Okay, here we go.
Fine. Then. Oh, so this is ECW. Who is this? This is. Oh no, this isn't. This is definitely not ECW. This is. Demolition, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not.
Wrong!
Damn, I'm 6 for 8.
I don't need a weapon. My hands are my weapon.
Oh, Taz.
Yeah,
holy shit. It was ECW Taz. I knew it. I was like, I heard that. I was like, who the fuck is that?
That was your boy,
that
man.
That was my boy for a bit. Taz was my dude for a bit. He was...
This could seriously just be a fucking workout montage soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
I know. It's like a generic guitar, like...
I will not put the American Male theme music on that. I will not.
American Male.
Oh, my God. The voices are just, like, completely against...
See? Always trust your first... Always trust your instinct. If you're going to go wrong, make sure it's on your first
guess. So, what are we at now?
6 for 8. Fuck, I'm pissed that I missed that. Diesel.
Kevin.
Diesel.
7 for 9.
Diesel.
I need a good one for you.
You need to finish strong here. That really is horrible theme music, though.
Not like driving bass or anything like that. No. It's
horrible.
Nothing
heavy.
Oh, can you find it? Told you. Horrible.
Okay. If you get this one... Final Fantasy. It's not Glacier, not Stag. This sounds like Japan. Come here, look at it. Let's bring this up. Read this.
It's not Mankind.
I'm not going to give you a hint, Tim. This is the final and hardest challenge.
Yeah. No lie. Someone's gonna know this. This sounds like a... So, Muda had a bunch of them, but I don't think this is one of them.
This may be digging too deep into the well.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know.
Hakushi.
Oh, shit! I was just about to have, oh god.
You were not.
No shit, I was just about to say no.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
What does Hakushi look like?
Hakushi is Jinsei Shinsaki. He's got these, not tattoos, but he's got the written kanji letters all over his body. How the fuck did I not say Jinsei Shinsaki? Fuck. Alright, so I'm 7 for 10. That's
not as good as I thought you'd be like a 9 for 10.
The rock and roll fucked me over.
How about this? Bonus question.
Bonus question.
Sam doing push-ups.
Running in place.
Hip thrusts. Squats.
And then back to hip thrust.
Gyrating hips.
Jeff Jarrett? No. I don't know who this is.
This will bring back memories. The Texas Tornado.
Oh my god, Kerry Von Erich. I was actually thinking like it was someone from... I mean, that sounds like a Texas thing. But I was actually thinking it might have been like... someone from USWA or from World Class or something like that. But there you go. The Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich. I suck. I'm not good. I should be way better at that game than
you
I
was. Should be.
That's
your wrestling fan hasn't gone on the shitter.
That's disheartening right there. Disheartening on so many levels.
Giants are 2.5.
Did the Dodgers roll over tonight? If they rolled over, they're 2 back. Please tell me they rolled over. Yes, they did. So the Giants are 2 back.
A's acquired Mr. Middlefinger.
Donke.
Mr. I don't care how many times I strike out. I will hit you 30 homers.
I'm going to hit bombs.
And it worked.
Yeah, one today. Angels did not play today, so they're 4.5 back. But the problem is I don't think... I think they only have pretty sure they only have 6 games left against the Angels. The Angels are 4.5 back. There's a lot of races that are now, like, done. Like, the American League East, Baltimore's. The NL East, Washington's. But, like, you have 3 teams within 3 games of the Central. You have the Dodgers and the Giants. You have Cleveland 4.5 out in the Central. They are 4.5 back of the Angels. But it's really funny. People are talking about how it could be a it was an Oakland-Detroit ALCS. It could be an Oakland-Detroit playing game. But on the other side of that, you might see John Lester versus Max Scherzer, which wouldn't be too bad. So
NFL, 1 week away.
Oh, can't wait.
Was it Thursday or Sunday?
Thursday. Thursday is the first game. That's the
Are the Thursday night games only going to be on the NFL Network?
I think CBS is going to show them as
great.
Well.
Great.
Pretty sure.
Great.
NFL.com says that Thursday, Green Bay and Seattle. Nice. So the defending champs always open up the season. They're going to unfurl the banner, and then Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for 450 yards. So.
Do you really think so?
Yeah.
If he does, I will give you a hand job.
So, thank you.
What? Where are you going to go?
Hand job?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, we might be able to meet up again before the NFL season starts.
Great.
If we don't, then we will definitely have it after the first weekend, because the Niners will have played the Dallas Cowboys by then and won by 40 points.
Phenomenal.
Because fuck the Cowboys.
Oh, you know what I noticed about the Sopranos in those last few episodes? Is that I didn't hate his family as much. Yeah. AJ turned a corner. And didn't suck.
That's hard.
Meadow wasn't that annoying.
Still pretty annoying.
Huh?
Still pretty annoying. Carm was always interesting. Like, she...
She was always solid. Tony was always... She was always
solid, but I think they, she was the tuning fork. Like, she was, like... Like, they twisted her to kind of even things out.
Yeah, I get that.
So...
But AJ turned a corner.
Fuck AJ. AJ's the worst fucking
He sucked up until the last 4 episodes. And then he was...
Completely useless.
Other thing. Magic the Gathering. Probably since Return to Ravnica.
2 years ago.
The biggest announcement that they've done. And that they're bringing back the Onslaught.
Fetchlands.
Return to Ravnica was huge because it brought back the Shocklands. Or the pain lands, whatever you want to call them.
But the fetch
where you where you can play them untapped, take 2 damage, which was huge. If you don't include the alpha, beta, unlimited dual lands, second best lands behind the fetch lands. So, super powerful. People were stoked to have them back.
Oh, wait. So, the fetch lands are better than those you said?
Yeah. So, the fetch lands... You only have to pay a life, and then you get a land right away.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's for a couple of things. One, you get to shuffle your deck,
mm-hmm.
which is always good. You get to thin your deck, even though it's 1 or sometimes 2 cards. Sometimes that can always make a difference. That just means that your percentage of drawing a land has just gone down really low. And it allows you to play with less lands. Because if you play with more of these lands... You can get exactly the amount of mana that you need. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. It's basically mana fixing. That's what you're trying to do.
Of course.
Did any of you guys have nudes leak out in the recent celebrity?
Oh, I've heard.
I mean, I'm might be out there. Just saying.
Yeah. Your iCloud got hacked. Dick pics for days. This one person said, "What's the point? Expensive cards," but he spelled cards, CSRD, "and cost you life." Guild Gates, people. I hope that that's a troll.
I really do.
As soon as you think that, there's like a maximum amount of intelligence certain people can use when it comes to like using a computer. So then like I think that their brains also just cannot rationalize.
It does show you that you don't have to be smart to use a computer.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this person kind of summed it up. Must buy
all the boxes.
All the boxes, yeah.
People were saying that this may
I would
be
must
the
buy
most,
all the crew fixes.
This may be the... It might be the most open set in the history of Magic.
Which is great, because they need it to be. We talked about this time and time again. Metagames are fine, but we don't want to be so dominant that people don't have the expression to have multiple different types of competitive decks. And so there you go. All
right.
I was thinking, God, I'm saving up for a car right now. Oh yeah, I never mentioned, I'm trying to get a new car.
Yeah, oh, yeah, bro. I was trying to get that vroom vroom.
I spotted a Mazda at the moment. Right now I'm trying to look at other stuff, but there's one in particular that I just have to always try and look at before it's gone. Just because you never know. It's like, it's worth a shot.
And of course.
Then, well, it's just, of course, Onslaught Lands just got freaking spoiled. So now those are selling. Those pre-orders are going.
Yeah.
And I can't buy any right now, because then I won't be able to...
Don't even worry about it. You don't want to get them right now at the pre-sale, because what's going to happen, packs will be opened, they will become more common, and their price will be fairly similar to the Duel Lands in Ravnica.
Yeah, I was wondering.
They'll be $13, $12, maybe even lower. I don't know. I have no idea. But they will be more affordable. People are trying to sell them like a playset for like $130 and stuff like that. It's like, no. By the time these are in standard and people are playing with the different decks, they'll be easily affordable.
So. You think it's just one of those things that it's used to be a really expensive land, and now that like the standard players get a chance to use them, then it's like the people with more money are just like, oh, I don't care about them anymore, and then just drop their value. I don't know. I mean, I get that they were out of print, but it's like, it's interesting.
It is.
Like, just the way they...
Magic finances are super, super interesting. I will say that much.
Yes, they are.
Anything else before we get out of here? Besides the fact that Tim's warped reality of how The Sopranos ends.
Fuck you. Congratulations to the Sonoma Stompers for a successful first season.
You are including yourself in that, because you are part of the...
Timmy is MVP, of course. You can't.
So,
I think it was fun.
You have to wrap this up, but I'm going to be playing this in the background. Continue.
Yeah, okay? Go ahead. Really?
Yeah, continue, Tim.
I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know how I even contend with this right now. Oh, no, Stan's making him clap. No. Oh, God.
We should just be doing these moves to Timmy right now. And just
double jock to him.
Knocking the table over.
Wearing leather vests.
Yes. Leather suspenders. Looking like some Chippendales ripoffs. So.
I had a freaking... The WCW Nitro... the freaking playset of the ring and like the metal crane drop over, and
that's
Sting
right.
was able to drop in on the fucking cord.
That's right.
It was awesome.
And hit people with bats.
I played with that thing for years. It was like the greatest.
But yeah, no. Congrats to the Stompers on their great first year. Can't wait to do it again next year. Very fun. Loved it. Loved every minute of it. Totally great.
170s in the books, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We haven't been able to do them lately because Tim has been working. But we will be doing them more frequently now.
You're going to be so pissed that we're doing them so frequently.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
Because we have the studio.
We have the studio. We're all done with work at an hour that allows us to talk about things. And we're going to have a lot of things to talk about.
Of course. All right. We are Los Livingston Brothers. Please make sure to subscribe to us. We are on the iTunes.
iTunes, Los Livingston Brothers. Look for us and subscribe. Enjoy us.
We are also on YouPorn.
We are also on YouPorn. My user is... Sorry.
DannyDix37.
Yeah. DannyDix.
With an X. Three X's.
Yeah.
Instead of D-I-C-X.
D-I-X-X-X.
Danny is Dandy D-I-X-X-X. 37-69-69.
Those are the measurements of his wiener.
69. In millimeters.
That's still... All right. Stop being so humble.
Yeah.
Come
on.
Very humble.
All right. Nice, we are out of here.
Appreciate it. Right there.